You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
It's your boy Tom here, and we are back with another episode of the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast. Fellas, we are in the home stretch coming up on WrestleMania week, baby. Come on now. I know you guys got some good stuff to talk about today, but first, let's get to it. How was your weekend?
I was doing great until I heard Time's audio, but hey, we can't all be winners here.
Wow.
I got to throw a dagger to start.
Dude, you ain't allowed to laugh.
Well, I am allowed to laugh because, one, I wanted to finish what we started last podcast, because you ended the podcast last week with the question that we were going to talk about and kick off the podcast with this week. Do you remember what that question was?
I think it's been a long week. I'm pretty sure I was asking you guys about how you felt about The Rock's character and whether or not you enjoyed it, if you thought it was, you know, nostalgia bringing it back, or if it's just WWE trying to make money, or how do you feel about the Bloodline storyline with The Rock being inserted, the people's champ? Let me know.
You want me to go first? Yeah. You want to go first?
Yeah, you go first, Gary. You go first. Because, you know, I know you are a huge Rock fan, so I'm interested to hear what you think about this one.
I think it's very played out. So I don't hate what The Rock's doing. I think they made the best of the situation, because I truly think they were going to do Rock versus Roman, which makes sense. In the Bloodline story, it makes sense in the aspect of have Rock and Roman wrestle. But for a year and a half, it's been all finish the story, Cody. Finish the story, Cody. Cody, 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 Cody. So just to come in out of nowhere and say, oh, The Rock's taking that spot. And then I think that was legit going to be the plan until they got the fan backlash. And then that's when it all changed and you got the crazy Rock, or the Hollywood Rock versus the original Rock. So I'm not a fan, because it's just, I think it would have been better if it would have been when Roman wasn't champion, because you already know the thing. You're not going to put Rock the title if they were going to wrestle. You're not going to give Rock the title, so he's going to be passing the throne because he's not a full-time. And then now the whole thing with Cody, it's basically become predetermined. We know Cody and Seth are going to win night one, and then Cody's going to get his title shot night two. But that means The Rock's only doing a tag team title, and you still don't get The Rock versus Roman, which is what everybody wants anyways. So I think it handcuffed them by building up the whole Cody getting revenge after losing to Rock last year, building all up, building up. You have Cody win the Royal Rumble, and then you want to insert The Rock into the thing, because I just think the way it started out played out bad, and they're making the best they can with what they tried to force down people's throat, and they realized people didn't want it. And I know Rock has done well, because he does a great job as on the mic, so doing the Cody crybabies and playing that heel version. But everybody wanted to see Roman versus Rock, but the fact is Roman's still the champion. Until he's not champion, that match means nothing, because that match can go any way if you want to be Rock or Roman without a title. But with the title, you know Roman's going to walk away with the title. So I think the way they pivoted makes sense. I do think it's just generic Rock coming back, stuff we've all grew and seen. He's a little more PC'd because it's not the Attitude Era anymore. He's still done a good job skirting around it some, so I give him credit with that. But all in all, I just think it's very predictable what's going to happen. So it doesn't really surprise me. I think they're just milking it. I think it would have been better Roman versus Rock without a title on the line. So to me, that would have been a better way of doing it.
This is a clear indication that wrestling is dead and has been dying for quite some time. I've seen The Rock says that he's revitalized wrestling and made it cool. but I completely disagree with everything that they're saying as it relates to him saying that wrestling is cool again. I'll tell you why. I think the best storyline in wrestling right now is between Jay and Jimmy Uso. And it gets pushed over because of the whole bloodline thing. I'm a firm believer that the reason why Roman Reigns gets as much publicity that he gets is not because of his wrestling skills. It's not because of how dominant he is in the ring or the fact that he can entertain us. It has everything to do. This is a great way to show you, like, you know how we had conversations, Gary, and we say that some people need the title and then other people don't need the title in order for them to flourish in WWE, AEW, TNA, whatever wrestling publication they choose to fall under. Whenever you don't need a belt and you still command the attention of the people around you, I'll give you an example. The Rock, CM Punk, Jimmy and Jay Uso, Cody Rhodes. These are
LA Knight until recently.
Right. these are wrestlers that you could put on any bill and they'll sell. I'm a firm believer that Roman Reigns is a product of having the title for too long. Obviously, he didn't defend it as much as he should have. So it all comes down. Nobody's talking about Roman Reigns. It's all about him dropping the title or not because of what? The Undertaker. When The Undertaker had that WrestleMania streak, the streak was bigger than The Undertaker and anything he had ever accomplished in his career. And that's what this is right here for Roman Reigns. When he loses the title, it's going to be the whole Goldberg thing. Goldberg was the man until he lost to Nash, and then he was just a regular wrestler. We all, like, we want to see things that we've never seen before, but within seeing things that we've never seen before, we want you to accomplish feats that have never been accomplished on your way of doing that. And I don't think Roman Reigns has done that. Roman has just merely occupied the belt. And if you want to be honest with you, it's been more so Paul Heyman more than anything defending the belt with the words that he gives us week in and week out, segment in and segment out on SmackDown and Raw. So it's not anything Roman Reigns is doing. It's everything that WWE machine is doing and promoting him and keeping him on top. This was Vince McMahon's ultimate plan when he got Roman Reigns, is he wanted him to be the face of the company. He wanted him to be the face of the business. And he also wanted him to break records because he has the look of a champion, not necessarily the body of work and the charisma and the performance to be the champ.
So before you go, Time, I got one more to add with that. So with everything he just said, I will give Roman credit. He's been 10 times better as a heel than he was when he was in the Shield or solo before as a face. As a heel, he's been better. I'll give him that. Like, even when he talks on the mic, he's done better with that aspect. I think he needs Paul Heyman. He's the type of guy that needs Paul Heyman. He couldn't do it by himself without Paul Heyman. I think Brock Lesnar was able to do it without Paul Heyman, and he was a face. I don't think Brock Lesnar could. He may be able to still be not a face, a heel, but he doesn't talk well on the mic. So I think he needs Heyman. I think Roman's gotten better talking on the mic. He's done a lot better now that he's a heel. But like I said, there's also rumors out there Roman could be hanging it up once he loses or taking a long break. So who knows? I think he does lose the title at WrestleMania, and I do think he takes a break, and he may come back in a year or something like that and then give time for a new storyline, because I think the bloodline will probably end at Mania as well, or it allows you to renew The Rock versus Roman, because Roman can blame The Rock come next WrestleMania, and then they can get their WrestleMania match when neither one of them, when he's not a champion, and then now you can reunite that whole spark of those two fighting each other.
I told you this, and I don't want to toot my horn or anything, but when Rock versus Roman Reigns was announced a few years ago, and they re-signed Cody and it wasn't announced, it was more so speculated. And then they signed Cody Rhodes, and then they kind of threw the curveball, and then they made this tag team match on night one of WrestleMania for them to wrestle each other. And then whoever wins, it's either the Bloodline not allowed around the ring versus them allowed to be there. It fascinates me because I think this is one of the very few times in history, Gary, and you may be correct me if I'm wrong, where the WWE literally changed the landscape of the final match at WrestleMania. Like, seriously, because we had this issue one time before, I don't know if you know, with one Daniel Bryan, where we wanted him in the Yes Movement and him to win it, and he ended up not winning it. And then a couple years later, they ended up winning it when we didn't want him to. Like, we had already, we were over the Yes Movement, that train, it had already sailed, and then now you want to sell it to us. So it's quite interesting that WWE is kind of on the fence, or now on the line with, we're going to give the fans what they want. Not necessarily what we want to give them. And that's what they've been giving them for quite some time. And I think they're out of that space now.
Well, I think it's worth doing every once in a while, given to what the fans want, because that doesn't happen enough. Now, I'm all for surprises. So I'd rather see more surprises and matches and stuff. So I'd rather see some guys get put over when you don't expect it. People win, lose. I wish a finisher was a finisher, not kicking out 17 times. Now, if it's WrestleMania, I'm fine with kicking out. But every time they wrestle, they kick out of finishers and stuff like that. If it's big names, I don't like that. I wish they'd go back to where it actually means something. Time, I know you probably have a lot to say because you're a huge Rock and a huge Roman fan. So I would like to hear what your thoughts are.
I can tell you right now, too, before he answers your question, it's going to be a snooze fest at the end of night one, because nobody wants to see The Rock and Seth Rollins in tag team action with their respective partners. Like, nobody wants to see that.
Correct.
Like, we like to see one-on-one. We like to see the belts up for grabs. And you still hadn't told us who Damian Priest is going to challenge for the championship belt.
I think he takes it from Seth, but good. Time.
What a plot twist that would be. Cody finishes the story and Damian Priest comes in and cashes in cheap shot.
I would love that because to me it catches everybody off guard. And you got super heat for Damian Priest and Judgment Day at that point. They got what they wanted, but then you yanked it away from the fans and you got super heat. I think that would be the ideal booking, but I don't think they'll do that.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I am a huge fan of The Rock and the GOAT, Roman Reigns. So what I'm going to say is that I think what The Rock is doing is breathing some more life back into it. I mean, obviously, as a fan of the Attitude Era, I'm going to always enjoy any time those people that were a part of my childhood come back and, you know, do it. But the thing I like about what The Rock is doing, he's not just, you know, coming in, giving you his little one-liners. But this man's putting up full 10 to 15-minute promos on Twitter and, like, really trying to shake the landscape of how we, you know, how people do this. Because he understands how big social media is and how, you know, people are so connected. And the fact that he's run some of his biggest promos through social media is awesome to me. I mean, what's that face about, D? What's that face about?
I, 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 what do you mean that he knows? Like, we all knew that social media moves things. We've known that for quite some time. I find it very interesting because the reason why The Rock has been trending the way that The Rock has been trending, in my opinion, is because he's allowed to use curse words and other wrestlers are not allowed to use those words. However, Cody in his last promo did the same thing. I thought Cody's promo to The Rock was very meh at best. Because Cody's not one of those, like, he's not a battle rapper is what I call him. He's not one of those that'll go toe-to-toe with you on the mic. He'll hit you with a couple of one-liners. Cody does a great job of reliving when he was a kid and going through the company with his father. Like, that's the type of storyteller that Cody Rhodes is. Cody Rhodes is not one of those that come out like CM Punk or come out like The Rock or come out like some of these wrestlers that are really good on the mic where he can attack you, disable you, disassemble you, and have the crowd like, ah. Cody's one of those that come from a place of relatability in terms of hardworking American that just want to get in, do work, and do the best he can and come out with a great win or that kind of rhetoric. As a result of that, and Cody Rhodes being that type of wrestler, it hurts him because The Rock, Roman Reigns, and it's not Roman Reigns doing the talking, it's more so Paul Heyman doing the talking. These guys are absolute monsters on the mic. I mean, CM Punk, The Rock, we're talking about some of the best storytellers and some of the best mic men in the world. So I'm saying that because you're talking about Roman Reigns as if like he really moves the needle, and The Rock, like he really moves the needle. You do realize the nostalgia that we have for The Rock is the same nostalgia that he's not bringing the same thing. Like that attitude era doesn't work now because it's, we don't believe the same way we believed back in those days. Like, we understand that when The Rock comes out and he says certain things, like, they don't hit like they used to back in the day. I think The Rock is very similar to Kevin Hart right now, where he used to be relatable, but now he's not relatable anymore, so we don't understand it.
But go ahead, how are you going to say he doesn't move the needle? How are you going to say he doesn't move the needle whenever, like, one of his first promos back is the most viewed video on WWE's YouTube?
Here's the thing, though, Tom. Why not? Just hear me out on this, Tom. The reason why is because he is a blockbuster movie star, okay? He is one of those that have crossed over from not just wrestling, but acting. People are fans of his. He has millions of followers on social media. So when he posts
Thank you for describing a needle mover for me, D'Angelo.
Yeah, you're not understanding. I think you're missing what I'm saying.
Well,
we're not into The Rock because The Rock is a great wrestler and great on the mic, and he's all these things. We're into The Rock because we were into The Rock in the 90s. I'm telling you that if it was a new fan of wrestling and they saw The Rock for the first time, he wouldn't look like The Rock was to us when we saw him for the first time in the 90s, because he just it's not the same. That's all I'm saying.
Also, when it comes to like views, you're talking about views. I don't count those because, like you said, Rock did a whole 15-minute thing on social media. Of course that's going to get views. It's the only way you get to see it. So you're going to get views. That's why that stuff doesn't matter to me. I would say if he pulled such a needle, there wouldn't have been such a blowback of The Rock versus Roman at Mania. The fact that they changed what was going to happen from Rock-Roman to now Cody gets a chance shows maybe there wasn't as much excitement as people thought there was for that match.
What if that was just the story the whole time, though? Because if you go and look at those comments, I've looked in many of those comment threads, and for every Cody crybaby, there's three or four people that are talking about how The Rock is bringing energy back and is exciting and all these things.
But that's a lot of The Rock fans. I'm saying if somebody who's neutral, that's the thing is you got to find people that are neutral to Rock or in Cody and give their honest opinion. I don't really care for Rock or Cody. Like as a wrestling fan, it doesn't do anything for me. It just doesn't. It made no sense storyline wise. Like why now you come out saying all that stuff and then you switch to that. It showed, hey, you were confused on what you were going to do. You thought you were going to get a bigger ovation for this than what you got, and you got a bigger one for somebody else. So you flipped it on the spot. Hey,
I will tell you what, and I don't hear this mentioned enough, and I think it's going to come into play at some point. But did you notice, you know, when they're going about introducing The Rock and Roman and the family tree, I didn't realize that The Rock and Roman and the Usos weren't actually blood related.
Yeah.
Did y'all catch that? I didn't know that. Yeah. Did y'all know that before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought he was like their uncle, like legit uncle. I didn't realize it was like his grandfather and their grandfather essentially were like homeboys and made a tribal pact or something, you know. I bet that's going to come into it because the faction is called the Bloodline, and The Rock is not actually in their technical bloodline, you know?
So
I don't know. I bet that.
I think Solo is going to hit The Rock by accident in the tag team match, and it's going to cause The Rock to attack Solo at some point, and then that's where the Roman Rock beef will start for some reason down the road.
Dude, this is not
going to work out. Got to win night one.
I don't understand why y'all even still doing this right now. This is not going to work out. You do realize out of everything that I said, y'all couldn't have been listening to me. I think I've really pinpointed why The Rock is not going to work. This is why The Rock is not going to work. When was the last time, Gary? And I'm not going to talk to you, Tom, because you're so enamored by The Rock that you won't. When was the last time The Rock was in a tag team match? Just think about this, Gary. When was the last time he was in a tag team? He is
the only thing that comes to mind is Rock and Sock Connection.
Right.
I don't know if it's after that.
Wasn't he in a tag team match a few WrestleManias ago?
Go, with Ronda Rousey?
Yeah,
he was in a tag team match. You got to understand, there's nobody in this match that's bigger than The Rock, bro. Like, The Rock is the top villain in this tag team match. Think about that. No? And you mean to tell me, like, who? There's no way that this could be a clean win. And if it is a clean win, there's no way you can tell me that all four of them, they're going to be happy about the results.
Probably not, but Cody will, because if Cody wins the title, it doesn't matter.
The Bloodline has to win night one.
I don't know.
Bloodline's going to win night one because it's going to stack the deck, quote-unquote, even more against Cody. And then night two is, if you're going to see any shenanigans, I think it's night two.
Well, it's because they changed the stipulation. That's why. And the fact that they changed the stipulation gives you even more thought of why that would be the case.
What's the stipulation again?
Well, you just said it's where Bloodline can be around the ring, right?
Right, right. I thought you said they changed.
Originally, wasn't it supposed to be Cody doesn't get a shot if they lose? Like, they lost night one. Cody doesn't get a shot. It's Roman Rock night two. That's originally what the original thought was. That's why if it's changed, now granted, I haven't watched recently, so if it has changed in that aspect, it's even more thing that Cody's going to win. Like you said, if you just stack the deck more and make sure Bloodline's around it, yeah, then they may win the first night. And then that's when you would see maybe Priest cash in on Seth. Because I think Seth takes the loss versus Cody.
I don't want to see. I mean, this is a hot button topic. I don't want to see Cody finish his storyline.
Well, I would love. Like, I think the best option is he wins, finishes the storyline, and then gets to take him night of by Damian Priest on a cash-in. That is the best thing you could do for the heat of Judgment Day. If you're really trying to push Damian Priest, you need to do that.
Roman.
If Roman wins it, and then he does it, and then Roman gets it taken by Damian Priest. Now you have Judgment Day versus Bloodline. You can keep that going for a year if you want.
I tell you what you need to do is you need to let Bloodline win night one. The Rock. Well, I guess they've already said that what? Drew McIntyre? Who won the chamber? I'm so lost.
Drew, I think he's going to take on Seth.
Yeah, okay. So there's no, like, Seth Rollins to be had. But I was thinking if there's some way that The Rock and Roman can both have a belt to build for a year, that would be epic next year.
Yeah, but Rock's not going to be around enough for that.
Hey, you never know. He's the chairman of the board now. We need a new one of those now that all Freaky Sheets is.
Freaky Sheets.
But I don't know. I like it. I think it's exciting. I hope that Cody doesn't finish the story because it's not even because I'm a fan of Roman. I just think it's the way that they're going to get the most pushback. And, you know, sometimes that people say is like, you know, negative attention is still can be good. So if people are hating,
I got a better question, and we can wrap up the wrestling. What will you not accept? How could they do this the wrong way? Like, we're all talking about how, like, it can be done the right way. It can be done. Like, what can be done the wrong way? Because I see all the people being positive and, like, all this. But what's the worst possible way that this can play out where we as WWE wrestling fans are we just like, I'm not accepting this shit. I'm not accepting it. I'll give you an example. This is what
I think there's two sides. Okay, go ahead.
This is what I'm not accepting. What I'm not accepting is that Roman Reigns go out here, him and Cody have a pretty dope match, and then outside interference causes the match to go in a different direction, and then the opposition win, whether it's Cody or whether it's Roman Reigns. If this is going to be a WrestleMania match and he has to finish the storyline, everything has to be clean. I'm not accepting anything that's not clean. Anything that's controversial is too much.
I was going to say, I think you can't let Cody lose clean.
You definitely can't let Cody lose clean. I think that's a huge one.
What?
If Cody loses clean, then you literally just destroy the whole Cody character. He has to lose like some way. Because if you're trying to build Cody up, like they have been trying to do with the story, even if you don't let him finish the story, if he loses clean and Roman wins clean, that's Cody's no longer relevant. Because he lost clean to the champion, and then he lost the year before, which I think was clean as well. I don't know. Yep. I don't remember if there was. I don't think there was interference the year before. That's two clean losses. You have no argument. You can't fight again. Sorry. Like you would just destroy all you've been building for Cody for a year and a half.
So we're all on different opinions. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you and Tom seem like y'all okay with him. I'm okay. It has to be clean because neither one of these wrestlers for quite some time have been pinned clean.
Again, and since what was the triple threat, whatever the pay-per-view was, the triple threat with Cody, or not Cody, Roman, AJ Styles, and Randy Orton. That was the last time, or Kevin Owens. I think I don't know whoever it was. It was three or four of them. But that was the last time that was the last time I've seen Roman win clean in a match in over a year. Like, he doesn't win matches clean, but that match he won clean, which completely surprised me. Now, Solo got involved, but it didn't lead to a victory. he actually won it fair. Like, he did his little spear and all that kind of stuff to AJ Styles in the middle of the ring. AJ was not distracted by anybody from the Bloodline, and it was a clean victory. But I hadn't seen that in over a year. So that was already surprising.
Why's it got to be a little spear? Why can't it be like a grown ass
spear,
man?
Again, the spear is so overplayed. I hate that as a finisher. Sorry, man. Moose. I just hate that as a finisher because it's just so overplayed. Everybody in every organization has it.
You know what would be so disrespectful, and I think it would be hilarious. I don't think they'd do it, but say Roman does win, and he wins with Cody Rhodes' finisher, and then like makes that his finisher for like the rest of the time he holds the title. Like, just something disrespectful like that. Oh, like, oh, now I beat you. Now I'm taking your finisher too. That would just be like
next. So he's talking about like some Seth Rollins stuff, because Seth Rollins took Triple H's pedigree.
Yeah.
And for a while,
can we talk about how that's a sham? The fact that they tried to get rid of the curb stomp.
So dumb.
That was like,
but it's back now. I'll give them credit. They brought it back.
Yeah.
They did bring it back. Just real quick, and we can get off professional wrestling. Best storyline in professional wrestling right now that's not Jimmy and Jey Uso. It can be in TNA, it can be in AEW, it can be in WWE. Best storyline so far. I said Jimmy and Jey Uso, but I can't say Jimmy and Jey Uso. So I'm going to go storyline-wise. I'm going to tell you what
I like the storyline with Bayley and how everybody turned on her, and they formed their own little faction, and Bayley's gets – I like that storyline's actually entertaining because it – you saw that whole thing forever, them together, and then they turn on her, and she gets her chance back. I think that storyline's entertaining in that aspect. I thought, well, it just ended. The whole storyline with Darby Allin, Sting, and the Young Bucks was really good. I thought that was a really good storyline. Obviously, that just ended, though.
Yeah. I mean, to me, honestly, I'm going to say this Rock Bloodline storyline, but, you know, that is what it is. That's mine.
Really?
Yeah, I told you, I love what The Rock's doing. I'm a big Rock fan, so that's going to, you know, play into that. He's my GOAT. You know, I joke about Roman Reigns being the GOAT, but The Rock's my GOAT. I understand, you know, he's not. If I had to make a list, I'm not putting him at the top, but he's my favorite of all time. But I'm loving what he's doing. I love that he's incorporating, because it reminds me of like Matt Hardy. I feel like Matt Hardy was the first one, at least I can think of, that incorporated other social media channels to make his character better.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see. So,
I got a question for you. You say The Rock is your GOAT. But I know you're a giant Stone Cold fan, too. So what puts The Rock over Stone Cold for you then? I already know D's Undertaker, and everybody knows mine's Shawn Michaels. So I'd be interested. And then, like, if we had other – then Sting from WCW was my favorite in WCW. But what puts The Rock over Stone Cold? Because I know those two were in your heyday, and you're a huge Stone Cold guy, too.
Oh, I love Stone Cold. I love Stone Cold. For me, honestly, it was – The Rock's charisma, his punchlines, you know, the more comedy side, because I identified better with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, because, Stone Cold is badass, you know, and Texas Rattlesnake, but I just like The Rock's character for the swag side of it, you know, more so than Stone Cold. What about y'all? What was the reason why you're favorite? I know yours is HBK, right?
Yeah. He's the showstopper. Every match, you know, when he was in it, you knew it was going to be a very entertaining match. No matter who he was wrestling, it was going to be a really good match. And I liked Sweet Chin Music, was the real deal. And then the iconic Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels first ladder match is just, that's iconic to me. So like that, I know D's is Undertaker. So D, yeah. Why is Undertaker for you?
Well, I mean, longevity, and he was one of the guys that I initially hated at first, And then it was one of those that the more I hated him, the more I liked him. Because I was like, I mean, it was a stupid character when it first came out. Very similar to like the Shock Doctor, I think is what it was.
Dr. Isaac Yankum.
Yes.
Was that was Kane before he became Kane. The Shockmaster was WCW.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, the Undertaker. This is for real? Like, this the guy that does, like, why didn't they just call him the Mortician? Why did he have to be the Undertaker? And for many, many years, that character stuck. Just quick, because I know we was talking about WrestleMania. I got a conspiracy, not necessarily a conspiracy theory. I got something that may shock y'all from what could happen at WrestleMania. Now imagine this, final bell, it's Cody Rhodes and the Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns just dropped the title to Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes standing in the ring, he's winning, and then MJF music drops.
I just don't see it happening, but I don't think that would make sense to me.
What? So who do you feud MJF with? Because we all know that he's going to end up in WWE eventually. I just don't know how they control his character, because his character is out there. Out there.
The thing is, I don't think you can. I think you just got to let him be himself. You can't try to control him because that's how he is. And I think he needs to go back to the heel MJF, where he doesn't care about the fans and lives that moniker, because I think that was the best MJF. I didn't like the whole aspect with Adam Cole and all that kind of stuff. Time?
To me, it's I don't. Yeah, I'm kind of like with you, Gary. I don't think that makes much sense. Other than, you know, he was in AEW, Cody was in AEW, and I don't know if he's like coming back to say, oh, we lost D'Angelo.
No.
honestly, the more I hear it, the more I like that Damian Priest coming in and just like ripping the title from Cody right after he wins it. That is going to put so much heat right on Judgment Day, you know. But I don't know. We'll see. I hope whatever they do, I hope that he doesn't get to finish the story. I like Cody. I don't know. He's just not all there for me. Seems like, you know, the little brother that won't go away.
So I think the problem with Cody is they forced him down everybody's throat because he left AEW to come back to WWE. So they had to push him to the front of the line and give him the title shot. And I think that's what's weighed on other people. The Cody fans that love it, it's no problem. But the other fans are like, well, he was literally just AEW, so you're giving him the shot just because he left AEW to come back?
Right.
So I think that's probably part of it. It's the fatigue of it's the same thing with Roman Reigns. When Roman Reigns was a face, everybody hated him because they were shoving him down our throats, saying he was just this good guy. Like, everybody liked him, he was good, and nobody liked him. Everybody's like, no, we're tired of seeing him. Stop forcing him down our throat. And I think that's gonna get to where Cody could be, because that's what was happening in AEW, and I think that's part of why he left. Also, the fact that he said he'll never wrestle for the world title, so he limited himself when he first started there. But people were just tired of seeing Cody Rhodes do everything and lead everywhere. And I think that's what's going to happen eventually in WWE. Even if he finishes his story, people are going to get played out on it.
Okay. So I got to say this, because I got to make sure we get to this. And I want to switch gears. I know we're talking wrestling because, you know, it's a couple weeks before WrestleMania, and we want to get that WrestleMania podcast out. But can I talk about something, and we could probably end the podcast after this, because I have to talk about this, and this might be right up your alley, time, because you are one of those that believe in conspiracy theories. For quite some time, there have been a lot of people out there that was concerned about Kate. They were saying that Kate was dead, that the family had killed her, like Diana, Princess Diana. My wife is one of those conspiracy theorists, because she was like, until I see Kate, they killed that woman. Well, it came out that Kate has cancer. I'm not quite sure what kind of cancer because I hadn't had a chance to read up on it. I just want to hear your thoughts on how the public view certain celebrities when they're going through something like Chad Bozeman, when he was going through what he was going through and he ultimately lost his life to cancer and nobody knew, but they talked about him like, oh, you know, look at him. And then he came out that said he had cancer. Everybody felt bad. And then they moved on. Is there, when you're dealing with celebrities, Gary, in time, when you're dealing with celebrities, is there, should we give them like these conspiracy theories that come out about their lives? Should we stop doing that? Or is that part of the job that just comes with it? People are so enamored with your lifestyle that they, if they can't understand that something had to happen to you that was of some conspiracy.
I don't, again, I don't think people are entitled to knowing. Again, I understand why people in England may feel they're entitled because that's part of the royal family and they've already dealt with like how Princess Diana died and all that kind of stuff. So there's feelings there and the royal family mean a lot to, it's different than like the president and the presidential family is in the United States. The royal family is different feeling there. So I can understand people having the, I want to know, I need to know that kind of stuff over there, but the rest of the world, why do you need to know? I don't, again, I'm a private person. So like, I don't ever agree with everybody needs to know if you're a celebrity or a public figure that people deserve or have the right to know about your life.
And this is our biggest disagreement.
Yeah, right, I don't agree with it.
I totally disagree. I think that if you're a celebrity and I have bought a ticket or I have came to support you and your business is entertainment, then, and I have supported your career with my financially, I financially motivated you to be the celebrity that you are, then yes, I am. I feel like I'm entitled to know what's going on in your life, assuming that it affects how I feel about you. So if you're dealing with cancer or you're dealing with death or something life-changing or life-altering that's impactful in your life, that's going to determine or change something in my life based off of what's going on in yours, then I need to know. I need to know. We've had that discussion before. But at the same time, though, Gary, I argue with my wife for a whole week. I cannot make this up. I argue with her for a whole week, Gary, because she was convinced that somebody else in the royal party killed somebody else in the royal party and they kept it silent. And I go, that's like somebody knocking off somebody in our government that's high up and people accepting the fact that they got knocked off and we moved on. I was like, she was like, they did it to Princess Diana. And I was like, what?
I do think I don't know if the royal family did it, but I do think Princess Diana was killed. I don't think it was.
Gosh, yeah.
I'm not saying the royal family did it, but just the whole situation.
100% she was set up.
100%. Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking. You know how good AI is today?
Oh my God, Todd. Oh my God.
You know how good AI is today, and there's been all these conspiracy theories, so much so that the royal family is like, we got to get something out there to deter this. So she's going to have cancer, and you know, obviously I don't want to talk on anybody that actually, this is my conspiracy theorist hat. She truly has cancer. Wish her well. But this, we're talking conspiracy theories, people. What if the something did happen to her and she is already gone? They put out this AI video for an excuse as to why she doesn't make it. And then all of a sudden she's for lack of a better term, it's a clean win. She died clean because of her cancer.
What?
I'm saying they don't have anything to keep right now. They told everybody what happened.
What is wrong with you people, man? What is wrong with you?
I love a good conspiracy theory. I'm not going to say, because again, She came out as cancer. She could have cancer. It's fine. Like, I hope it all comes
she
well.
Could have cancer.
Well, I'm saying, like,
why are you saying it like that? Like, you think she's just lying on herself?
No, I'm not saying she's lying. I'm saying they could say stuff. She probably does have cancer. I'm not saying she's does or doesn't. I have no idea.
Where is this podcast going, bro? Like, I thought this was like.
No, I think she has cancer. I don't know why she would come out and say it. But would I put it past anybody say, making her say it? No. But again, I don't know what the benefit of that would be. That's why I think she truly does have cancer, because I don't know what the benefit would be. Like, what was she doing? Just to play into your conspiracy theory, what would she have been doing, or what would have caused for them to want to cover all this stuff up and do all this?
She wanted to take the kids away from the prince.
For what, though? Maybe, for what reasoning?
Maybe she found out he was cheating, and she no longer wants to be with him. I'm taking the
kids.
Okay,
let's make sure that we I want to nip this in the bud real quick, because my wife said the same thing. She was like, the prince was cheating. I was like, look, first of all, this man is a prince of a whole damn country. You can't just cheat and don't nobody know. Like, I don't understand that way of thinking. Like, it's not like he could just leave, go over some chick house, and then leave and come back and like nobody missed him. He's a fucking prince.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, help me understand this.
It's not that nobody knows, but nobody's going to say anything.
Bro, look here. Let me tell you something, man. This whole princess.
You see celebrities all the time. They cheat, and they don't get caught till later on, or don't ever get caught, because nobody wants to say anything.
So, Princess Diana and that whole situation, that was behind the cheating scandal of the royal family, correct? We all knew that what was going on before it even released from the news, because we all knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that was saying that man was cheating. So you're going to tell me that we just going to formulate these rumors and say, hey, okay, this is what's going on. And then she later comes out and says she has cancer. And we still don't want to believe her, because we're like,
I do think people should believe her, because again, I don't know why she would come out and say that. I know there was a lot of people that were backtracking after the fact when she came out with the video saying it. I love hearing about conspiracy theories and seeing where everybody's mind goes, because to me, it's a social experiment, because you're going to really see where people's minds deviate, where they go to, and where their thought process is, and then how easy other people just pick up on it and believe it like it is a fact. That fascinates me to no end. And there's some conspiracy theories I do believe in out there, but not in the reason that other people tell me, is just because of what I've looked into. It doesn't make any other sense any other way.
Gotcha. Fair enough. I just
want to be clear. I want to be clear. I'm not saying this is what I believe. I'm just saying, if you're asking me for a conspiracy theory, I can connect those dots very easily like that.
Got you. So I again, just real quick. I know she has cancer, but nobody's been able to answer this question for me, right? So what would be the reason why the royal family would kill Kate? Because nobody's been able to definitively answer that question for me. Like, what would be the benefit behind knocking her off? Since you're conspiracy theorists, what was she going?
If she's trying to leave the prince, I could see that very easily. Or there's so many ways. What if something happened and the prince killed her? But now they got to cover it up, because they sure can't have that get out.
I don't know. Okay. I think she has cancer. Hopefully she overcomes it.
Yeah, she does.
That's not a conspiracy theory I get behind on this one. There's other ones that are much better. I do know time. I do know your boy loves his conspiracy theories, because I follow him on Facebook, and boy, he's got them all the time.
Which one?
Oh, what was his name? He came on the podcast. Brett? Yes, Brett. Brett. He got so many, which I love him. I love him because I like seeing the interactions with the people below that don't believe it and that do believe in it. It's just, it's amazing how, where people mind go and how they try to defend certain sides. I don't think he does believe in the flat earth, which is a positive because flat earth is a whole nother aspect that is outrageous to me. But well, I don't think we've lost time to those, to that realm.
No. I'm not a flat earther. I'm other things, but yeah, I don't know. I just, the more I learn about this world, as far as like history and the way history has been rewritten so many times, I've just come to not be surprised by things that you hear, you know?
No, I agree. The world's crazy, ever changing.
Right. And they're having to find new ways to, it's just like wrestling. It's just like wrestling. They're having to find new ways to keep us controlled. They used to be able to do that because they used to be able to control the news. Because, you know, you're only seeing newspapers or radio. Whereas now, everybody can be a news outlet, you know? And that's why so many people are brainwashed about Michael Jordan, is because there was only, you know, one news cycle. And now, there's so many people that try to discredit LeBron and him being the GOAT. You know, I haven't had a LeBron reference yet. I had to bring one in.
I'm gonna tell you something that bothers me to no end about LeBron fans and Kobe fans and Jordan fans and KD fans, whoever you want to be a fan of. And you help me understand this, and this will be my last conversation with basketball on this podcast today. We always hit Steph Curry with the moniker, he's the greatest shooter of all time. What's keeping him from simply being the best at all time? Like, why does he have to have the shooter tag? He has 4 NBA titles. He has a few MVPs. Why, when we talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, we don't throw Steph Curry up there too? Why do we have to separate Steph Curry and put him in a field of his own because it's Reggie Miller, it's all the other shooters? When we talk about basketball players, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, LeBron James,
Kareem,
Kobe Bryant,
Kareem,
all those names are deserving to be there. Why do we always have to specify that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time, not considered top 5 as one of the greatest basketball players of all time? So help me with that, Tom, since
his biggest glaring weakness is going to be defense. And he's just not built the same. I mean, yeah, he is the same height as me, 6'3". And, you know, when I walk around normal people think that I'm tall. But when you walk around NBA players, 6'3 is tiny. And so that's why he's not got the frame. And so he just doesn't have, like, that ability to do all these things that some of these other guys can do because he is a little bit less physically gifted. He's not a great defender, never has been. He's actually a liability on defense. And so I think that's just going to take him out. And then, you know, when it comes to the championships, yeah, he's got, you know, 4 championships, but he's only got 1 MVP. He's only got 1. Andre Iguodala won an MVP over Steph. That's how bad Steph played in those finals. They gave Iguodala an MVP for guarding LeBron and holding to him to absurd numbers. So it's like, I love Steph. Don't get me wrong. I love Steph. Steph's one of my favorite players. He's probably top 3 for me. But It's just different. You just can't compare.
It bothers me that everybody says it's just different. Reggie Miller, for instance. Reggie Miller was one of the greatest shooters of all time. Just listen to what I'm saying, though. Before Steph Curry came along, Reggie Miller was considered the greatest shooter of all time, or one of the greatest shooters of all time. But every now and then, in brief conversation, his name would pop up. Like, man, Reggie Miller, man, that man, he used to play, he used to do this. Steph Curry name never pops up for those awards. Never pops up. When you talk about basketball players and the greatest of all time, you say the names that you say, that list of Kobe, Jordan, LeBron, and then you say, well, we can't leave out Steph. He's the greatest shooter, and we leave it at that. But as a basketball player, where are you ranking Steph Curry all time?
Well, I mean, I'd have to really dig into it.
I think he's top 10. I think he's top 10. I don't think he's top five.
You don't think he's top five, Gary?
It's Jordan, Kareem's 1-2 for me. LeBron's probably 3. Kobe's probably 4. Shaq's probably 5. My top five. If you put me right now, that's probably the order I'm giving you.
Hey, but here.
Well, and my only comment when it comes to the basketball stuff is, why does everybody that's fans think they have the right to say this guy's the best, this guy's the best? Why don't they just? It's the same thing me and D talk about when we talk about football. We have a little more knowledge at football than other people that are just fans of football because we played it. Just like basketball players have a little more knowledge about basketball players because they played it. And if you ask any players that played against Kobe, Jordan, and LeBron, any of those three, there's multiple guys that played all three of them. Hands down, every one of them said Jordan is the best. Every old player that's watched this game, would play against Jordan, watch LeBron and all that stuff, has said Jordan's best. You have a few that say LeBron's better. You have some. Majority say Jordan is better. Arguably the best big man in the history of the NBA, Shaq, who's played with both, who's played against and with both, and didn't play with Jordan, but he played against him, said Jordan's better. It's not even like, it's just, it, that's the people who we should be taking the opinions of, not random people.
No, you can't. I don't know. Shaq, Charles Barkley, all these people continue to give out. I think just because you played the game doesn't mean that you – I mean, yes, you obviously have more insight into, like, the day-in, day-out. You played against them. You can talk about how you felt. But, you know, it's like for Shaq to say that he's never heard anybody say they fear LeBron, it's just silly.
You don't hear people saying that they fear him.
I can send you a whole clip of 15 minutes of people talking about, I've seen it. Kendrick Perkins saying he woke up game 7 hoping that LeBron would have torn his ACL because he was afraid of LeBron and what he was going to do in game 7.
The fact that you just mentioned Kendrick Perkins is all I needed to know.
He was one of the best players for the Celtics.
No, he was not.
The things that you guys are arguing about right now blows my mind, because this is what really blows my mind here. I'm sitting here trying to process this whole conversation. But let me make sure I got this straight. You're telling me that the greatest shooter of all time does not make your top five NBA basketball.
Who you putting him in over those five?
It's not whether.
No, I don't think he does. I think it's the whole package.
What's the benefit of having the greatest shooter tag if it does nothing for you overall?
Well, like I said, I do think he's in the probably in the top 10. Like, you could argue top 10, but like, I do think it does come down to. He won championships, but he only won one MVP. He wasn't like – he was like KD got MVP. Andre Iguodala, Steph Curry did. I don't know who the other championship who got the MVP.
Katie got two, right?
I didn't know. Okay, yeah, Katie got two. So, like, that's the thing is, like, yes, he was good. Katie was a much better player than he was. But, like, I think that's probably what keeps Curry down. And that's why I think he wouldn't crack the top five because of that. Like, Shaq was a dot with – nobody could touch Shaq when he was in his prime. No one, nobody was even close. Kareem, nobody touched Kareem. Same with Jordan, LeBron, Kobe. Like, those guys were just – I don't know if there's people that were ahead of them. And I think you have Larry Bird in that top 10. Magic, you can say he's up there. I'm not high on Magic. I think Magic's good. I think he's probably a top 15 in my book. I don't know if he makes top 10. But I think Curry is probably in the top 10 just because of how he changed the game.
Yeah. I mean, you just saw LeBron mention that he thinks Steph Curry and Allen Iverson are the most influential players of all time based on what they did for the game. But here's the crazy part, Dean, and Gary, I want y'all to hear this, and we can end it right here. Because this just goes to show you how ignorant this whole conversation can get. Tell me if y'all seen this picture. So there's a picture I saw on Facebook today. It's the top picture is a picture of a guy choking out Michael Jordan in a Bulls jersey while, like, in a game. And said the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron. Michael Jordan's getting actually choked out by this guy. You can tell it's on the sideline. He and MJ's, like, looking back all, like, mean and tough. And the second one is LeBron in a position where it looks like he's flopping. And the way his hand is, it looks like he's choking himself. And essentially is saying, you know, LeBron's a flopper. MJ actually had to deal with the physicality and, you know, could actually get choked by the physicalness of the 90s. You go into the comments section. Someone has taken the picture that is of MJ and is like, you know, this is a fake picture, right? Because someone had photoshopped Michael Jordan's jersey and face onto the actual picture. It wasn't Michael Jordan. It was a guy from the Sonics. And they said, Bron sexuals will do anything to try to make LeBron look better than Michael Jordan. So clearly a meme that is trying to throw shade at LeBron. And there's multiple people in the comment section that think this is a meme trying to throw shade at Michael for saying that people wanted to choke him out. And it's just so dumb because it's like, what are you talking about? And I'm talking about people in the comments section, like when somebody points it out, like you realize this is what this meme is saying, right? They're like, no, actually, it's trying to say that Michael Jordan got choked out by people and he's not tough, blah, blah, blah. And it's just so crazy to me how something like that can be so twisted just based on your perspective. And it's just weird. It's so weird.
I think the biggest thing is we don't need to have a who's the greatest of all time debate. Just why can't we just have greatest of that era? Like, it doesn't have to be greatest of, because it's so, like you said, we've said this multiple times, it's so hard to compare eras because it's just a different game in each era. So was Kareem the best of his era? Was Wilt Chamberlain the best of his era? Because Wilt never gets mentioned because he played in the 60s. Wilt Chamberlain could arguably be the best player of all time, but he played in the 60s, so people don't give him credit. So, like, it just sucks. Like, I think it should be based on eras and, like, I want to throw out the game NBA. NBA 2K has the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird era. They have the Jordan era. They have the LeBron Kobe era, the LeBron era. And then they have the modern era because they don't have that guy right now that is that face that is the next era yet.
Yeah.
So I think we can just say there's eras. I don't think there has to be a GOAT discussion because that's where people get stuck. Again, I think if people grew up watching Jordan, Jordan's their GOAT. If people grew up watching Kareem, Kareem's their GOAT. People grew up watching LeBron, LeBron's their GOAT. And you can't change their mind. So I don't think it's like, it's just because that's what they grew up watching. And I think that's the problem you will always have when trying to have a GOAT discussion. People grew up watching Kobe, Kobe's the greatest. Like that's just the how it is.
Right.
Now the problem with the Kobe argument is Kobe modeled his whole game after Jordan and didn't do anything better than Jordan. So you can say that, yes, but Jordan would automatically be better than Kobe.
That is what always I think is one of the funniest arguments. People that try to say that Kobe is better than Michael Jordan when literally they're pretty similar player and, like you said, did nothing better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
So a better question is this, Tom, and we got to end the podcast. And I didn't mean to cut you off. I did mean to, because this has got to be the end. And you gotta give me a name. You gotta give me a name, and then we end the podcast. You can't say why we end the podcast. Who do you want, or who do you think is gonna be better at the end of their career? Who are you taking in their prime? And it all has to be the same name. You taking Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, in his prime, or are you taking the Joker? Who's gonna at the end of the day, when it's all said and done with, who do you think is gonna be the best center between the two? Joker or Shaquille O'Neal?
That's a really good one. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah. And we can't say anything else.
Can't say anything else.
We'll pick it up next week. We go pick up next week. Why? We'll give our explanation next week.
I'm gonna say Jokic.
Really? I'm gonna go Jokic as well.
I'm saying Shaquille O'Neal. I cannot wait till next week to blow y'all minds, because there's no way that kid's gonna even come close to what Shaq has done.
Well, we will talk about it next week on next week's podcast, and we'll give our reasons why.
Yes. Can't wait.
We out.
You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast, featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast, featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast, featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast, featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage.